Hey guys, welcome back to Life Advice. So, I just want to give a brief segment on relationships and following up that line, that I use my personal experiences. And what I've learned through COVID-19 is that being under the same household, being under the same roof with your partner can be overwhelming at times, because since you could probably be constantly overstimulating yourselves with your partner. And with that said, overstimulation or understimulation can cause problems with your partners. So one of my biggest suggestions, and one thing that I've noticed that has been highly effective for us, is that we've been going to therapy. We're taking individual therapy, and we're also taking couples therapy. And it's really good to be able to share our situations with somebody, first of all, who is qualified to work with this, and secondly, talking to somebody that is out of the situation and bringing a good, healthy perspective to the table, which sometimes we can't see because we're just cluttered with either overstimulation or understimulation, or things that just are overwhelming in general because of the situation of COVID-19 or school or work, etc. So it's really good to bring other perspectives to the table. Also, it's another way to vent what you need to say to somebody who is trustworthy and who will have your best interest in mind. I highly suggest, if you are having problems with your partner, to suggest therapy, to basically have an open, just a person to be able to vent to and bring other perspectives, and have good techniques that might help you go through this process. And if you go through this process, hopefully this whole situation and the time that you might have because of COVID-19 and being closed in your house, well, it could probably make you guys stronger and build techniques and give you guys some time to reflect on yourselves and, just let those techniques marinate within you guys, and hopefully, build a good, solid relationship. So, therapy is highly recommended with everything that is going on with this, basically everything that is going on in the world. So have somebody to talk to, especially if it's somebody who is qualified for this. And if not, a good friend is also highly suggested. But, a therapist would be the most recommended. Anyways, hope that you guys consider this, and if it helps, I'm glad to help. Hey guys, welcome back to Life Advice, and today's topic has to do everything to do with relationships. So as you've noticed, I usually do my podcast according to the situations I'm dealing with in the moment, and I had a situation recently, particularly with my girlfriend, where we were having some differences and we couldn't find the root problem of what was going on, because we had an argument, and the argument was so stupid that we couldn't understand why we were feeling the way we were. And so we came to the conclusion after a lot of thinking, time passing by, and doing a lot of reflecting and introspecting. So we came to the conclusions that, you know, sometimes problems feel very overwhelming and very emotional because we're not just dealing with the superficial aspect of the situation. For example, like a lot of people will argue for because of cleanliness, like one of the partners may be more cleaner than the other. And a lot of people argue for like very superficial stuff. For example, jealousy, like I said, cleanliness, I don't know, anger management, something that happened in the house or at work or any little situation. The thing is that we're just solely looking at the basically like the base coat of the situation. We're just looking at it superficially. And underlying those situations, there are a lot of layers of emotional difficulty and emotional background. And with that said, like, for example, my situation with my girlfriend this past week was, I'm not going to go into detail, but we argued and we basically had the most perfect, how can I explain this? Like, so we argued about something really, not even argue, we just talked. And because we had some differences based on something that my partner said, and I felt a certain way towards it. And, you know, she recognized it, she apologized, but I ended up communicating how I felt when I was ready. And our communication skills in this situation was flawless. But then we couldn't recognize why we were feeling so overwhelmed afterwards, where, you know, after that, we talked about it. And underlying those situations, that situation particularly, was my feeling and my insecurities of feeling lesser, and my insecurities about myself, my problems with my self-esteem, and of course her issues, and her situations and her background, her emotional backgrounds, which I will not mention, but she has underlying emotional background, which I have also. And we were digging in deep to figure out where did we go wrong when we actually didn't do anything wrong. Everything went smooth, but what was going on? This basically opened our eyes to understand that, you know, the reason why sometimes things seem more difficult than what they are is because when two people keep on, they continue to spend more time with each other, they open up different realms of emotional and different dimensions of emotional baggage. And so with this said, what I'm trying to say is that we are two worlds, we're two separate worlds trying to modify our love language and our ways of communicating in order to send our message so that the receptor receives it in the proper way that we're trying to project it. So with this said, it's very complicated to have a relationship or any types of relationship, not only relationship-wise as for having a partner, but any type of relationship, family relationships, friendships, any type of relationships are very complicated because the main situation is not always what it really is. It's the underlying situations that we cannot see, and we cannot see sometimes the core of the problem because it has so many layers under it. And digging in deep to find the root of the problem takes a lot of introspection, a lot of reflection, a lot of honesty, transparency with yourself, and understanding a lot of concepts and understanding, at least having some basics in what has to do with psychology. So a relationship or any type of relationships are two worlds trying to communicate with each other. You could have the same meaning, but it's like if you take a person that knows Spanish and somebody that knows English, and you know, they're trying to communicate, they're probably trying to say the same thing, they're probably saying I love pizza, but since they don't know their language, since they don't know the other person's language, like, they're not going to understand, even though they want the same things, even though they're saying the same things. But you gotta have to understand and modify and learn what the other person has to say and wants to say according to how they are, and vice versa. You both have to mold yourselves to understand the other person's love language or just the other person's, you know, personality. And it takes a lot to understand these underlying situations and introspecting on what's the core problem on you and what's the core problem on this other person, without being very humble. And then trying to modify to try to speak the same language and try to modify whatever maladaptive habits you have. So you have to learn what's working for you and what's not, and learn how to modify these things. And this is, I think, the core reason why relationships are so fragile and so susceptible to breaking up, because there's going to come a point where you're going to have to deal with this other person's personality and past experiences, because I am the one that does believe that your past experiences have created, right, some part or defined some parts of your personality nowadays. So with that said, you know, it's going to come a time where you both are going to have to deal with each other's core personality, and that means dealing with each other's baggage and unresolved problems from way, way back. And realizing it is very hard, because sometimes it's not as easy, and sometimes we don't have all the answers, and sometimes it's not as clear, and sometimes we need a psychologist, and sometimes even if you don't find the right psychologist, you might not get to the root to the problem. But it takes for you and your partner to keep learning, to keep educating yourselves, to learn how to better yourselves. And whatever questions you have, whatever, anything that just pops up into your mind, any questions that you guys have, please feel free to reach out. And I will definitely try to give you, to find the answers if I don't have them, or I will give you. Hey guys, welcome back to Life Advice, and today's topic is going to be about personal development and personal growth. So another thing I notice throughout the conversation with my partner was that constantly we are craving each other's presence, and constantly we're trying to stimulate each other. And during this whole pandemic, like, we are enduring all the stress we're going through in school and all the stuff going on. Like, we are the only stimulation that we have as something good. And so we've been basically feeding off each other to be happy. And I know I made another segment about codependency and loneliness, but I feel like this is so different, because that codependency had to do with, you know, the feeling like after a breakup. And codependency right now is the feeling me during a relationship. So it's very, you know, it's very satisfying to be with your partner and being able to stimulate each other mentally and be able to, you know, just let time pass and enjoy each other's presence. But being constantly each other's stimulation, what happens is that eventually it starts to wear out. And it's very important to have some time for yourself without the stimulation of your partner, so that you could always remember and remind yourself to look elsewhere and look for things that make you happy, things to do for yourself that only you can rely on you. Because this is very important to recognize during a relationship, because if you break out of the relationship, well, at least you have these other things to back you up that reinforce your happiness and your stability, your mental health. So we basically figured out that we needed some time for ourselves to stimulate ourselves on our own and look for other things that we like or enjoy, or search for other experiences that help us grow as individuals so that we could bring this to the relationship. And that's beautiful. You know, right now, my girlfriend lives in another apartment, but most of the time she's usually with me. And it doesn't mean we've broken up. That has nothing to do with this. It's the point that it's good to be free in the matter of being constantly stimulated by your partner, because it helps you grow and it forces you to stretch out to other experiences and other things that life has to offer. Even though that we're going through this pandemic, it helps you search for things that fill and fulfill you. I also want to add to this that this is very important to identify during a relationship, because, and specifically before moving in with a partner. Why? First of all, I think this and my previous segment called Core Problems of a Relationship, that segment and this is one of the most important ones, because if you complement these two, specifically this one, when you move into a house or an apartment with your partner, like, you need to be very conscious that you're not leeching onto your loved one, because as I said, it's going to wear out and negative things are going to pop out. And that's when you become very needy and extra, how do you call this, demanding. So recognizing that you need to have some space for yourself and space for your personal development, it's super important. And space to be alone in order to reach out to other experiences the life has to offer and not only rely on your partner, because when you live under the same household, you can't just go to another apartment and, you know, neutralize yourself and, you know, have this space to think about other things. You're living in the same household. So it's super important to realize and respect each other's space inside the same household and have and create a space for each other. Not only have the same room, the same, you know, not always share everything. It's very important not to share everything. Have your partner create a space in the house that is only for him or her, and create a space for you that's only for you. And respect each other's spaces to the point where your partner, you can only enter that part of your partner's space whenever you're invited, and vice versa. Space is super important for reflecting and self-introspection. So I highly recommend that. And it's very important for you guys to be very self-aware of yourselves and your partner. And yeah, listen to my other segment. It's called Core Problems in a Relationship. Thank you guys. Hey guys, welcome back to Life Advice. Today's topic is going to be intimacy. Wow, what a topic, huh? So, you know, relationships take a lot more than just having sex. It's a lot more than just that. Intimacy means so many things. The act of sex is just, you know, is just the external stimulation of the body. But when you actually have sex with somebody that is meaningful, that's a whole another ball game. That intimacy while having sex is just profound. And if it's mutual and if it's reciprocal, it's so, wow, it's so mind-blowing sometimes. There's a lot of people struggling with intimacy and sex in their relationships, and there might not be any emotional conflict between you guys, but probably in that area, you guys are having problems. And I just wanted to let you guys know that it's okay. This should be normalized. It shouldn't be anything to be afraid of or embarrassed. We shouldn't be hiding just because sex is so highly rated. Everything is so sexualized. But just don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Whoever is listening to me, and needs to hear this and is going through this. If you're the one struggling because your partner can't or isn't sexually aroused to have sex, or can't have sex, I want you to listen to me and I want you to be patient. I want you to talk to your partner and let them know from a vulnerable place and be transparent to your partner, but also be gentle and tell them that you will be patient, but you would also like to increase intimacy in other areas and you want to nourish that area. I want you to tell your partner, I need more not sexual intimacy, I need more emotional intimacy. I want to feel loved in other ways. I want to be held. I want to be touched, caressed in that way. Not in a sexual way, but I want to be caressed. I want to be held. I want to be hugged. I want to be kissed. I want to be looked at and feel like I am as important as you are to me. I want you to make me feel that it's okay, that there is nothing wrong with me, that there is nothing wrong between us. I need safety. I need reassurance. I need love. And if we're not working and having sex, working in that area, I want us to work in other forms of intimacy, our emotional intimacy, and try to invest that time in emotional intimacy so that you could patiently wait until your partner doesn't feel so pressured to have sex and open up. And now I'm going to speak to the person who is probably having these problems with sexual intimacy. If you are the person who is having problems with feeling aroused, it's okay. Everybody works differently, and you might be feeling stressed out because of work, school, kids. You might be going through a lot. You might be feeling depressed with everything that's going on. You might not be feeling yourself. You might not be doing the things that you love anymore. I want you to give yourself some space and time to reflect on how you're feeling. What are your feelings throughout the day? Be mindful of your day. Be mindful of what is happening around you and what emotion does it trigger. So that you can identify what's going on with you. I want you to also give yourself this space to be by yourself and be on your own. Give yourself some you time and only you. Do whatever you feel like, whatever you please. But give yourself that time with yourself. No one else. No calls. No friends. No partner. No family members. No pets. Just you. Love yourself. Give yourself that time. For whatever it is that you want and need, reconnect with yourself. Be aware of yourself. Sometimes we're constantly around people that we stop being aware of who we are and how we feel and what's going on with ourselves. So reconnect. Reach out to yourself again. If you are the one who's having this problem, also be patient with your partner. They're trying to be patient with you. Show them love, even though they annoy you. When they want your constant attention, show them love, even though when they get frustrated. When you're not in the mood to be affectionate, when you're annoyed because you want to be left alone, be patient. Say things in a subtle way. Be tender and loving. You don't have to be affectionate, but be loving with your words. Your partner is just trying to connect with you and love you and show you how much you mean to them. Not being subtle and loving, even just through words, can come off as rejection. And if you're having these problems with feeling sexually aroused and in the mood, well, that might just add on to their feeling of rejection and insecurities. Be kind. Just as you want them to be kind with you. Be patient, just as you want them to be patient with you. Be loving. Be reciprocal. Do what you want them to do with you. Just be kind to each other, loving and understanding. Sex is just the ultimate way to feel connected with somebody, but it's not the only way. Emotional intimacy is so important, and it takes sex to a whole nother level. Emotional intimacy is what makes sex so desirable. If you didn't love the person and you didn't wanted to be with that person, you know, sex would be hard. And you might be having these sexual problems because you might need a medical checkup. It might be something, you know, physical. It might be something psychological. So if you are having problems in this area, I suggest that you, both of you, look for couples therapy to help you guys be, just help you guys be more patient with each other, and give you guys some techniques to guide you through all of this. So that hopefully a good relationship, a good marriage, won't go to waste. If you guys love each other, just please, both of you, be patient, be loving, be caring. The other person doesn't come from a bad place. Nourish that emotional intimacy with your partner. Try to make up for the lack of sexual intimacy. Invest that energy that is going through like water in a cup that has a hole. Instead of investing that energy into that faulty cup, into that cup that has a problem in this moment, that has a hole, and all that energy is just going through there, instead of just investing all that energy into that, which is only going to build up more insecurity, try to invest it in emotional intimacy. Use masturbation as a source of just relief for now, until you guys get help. Be open and vulnerable and humble into reaching out to getting help. Stay strong. Love each other each day more and more and harder and harder. Very important to always give your partner reassurance, security, and love. They might be annoying because they constantly feel insecure, and weekly they will be asking you the same things, and weekly, each week, they'll probably come up and tell you that they feel insecure because of the lack of sex. But you know what? It's normal. They're gonna feel that there's something wrong with them. Just as the person who's having arousal problems or dysfunctions, like, they feel guilty too. The conversation or the topic might become very sensitive to you guys, but it's important to always talk about it. Be vulnerable with each other. Be considerate of each other. And even though you're feeling whatever you're feeling, always put yourself in the other person's shoes. And just try to comfort them. Then they will try to comfort you. So, true love is always very empathic. True love is always very loving, caring, kindness. They always have your best interests in their minds. They're selfless. But just be careful with your words and how you choose your words when you go about these topics. Be gentle. Don't ever make your partner feel like they're the problem or that they're not enough or none of that. Give each other a lot of reassurance, okay? Just remember to look for help, psychological help, and also physiological help. Go to a general doctor and talk about this and see if you guys can work on it. Love each other, stay strong, and if he's actually, you know, if there's a lot of love, respect, empathy for one another, be patient, okay? Be patient, guys, and give each other a lot of reassurance no matter what. No matter how annoying it might get, your partner has insecurities. But you gotta be there for each other and stay strong, okay? Alright, guys, so take care. Stay humble. Be vulnerable. And be open to your partners, okay? So take care, and I hope you guys solve this and come to a happy place again, all right? Love each other and nourish that emotional intimacy, okay? Don't forget the reassurance. Hey guys, welcome back to Life Advice. So basically, what I want to talk about is the 1-year mark in a relationship. So I know that for a lot of people, like, every relationship and every situation is different, of course. But from my experience, I've been in relationships before that have gotten to the 1-year mark. But, of course, they have been very toxic. And although they've been very toxic, I've learned a lot from them. But in comparison to this one, I could tell you that there are a lot of differences. For example, like, I do consider, right, off track before we talk about that, I do consider this relationship to be overall healthy. It's actually been the healthiest relationship I've ever been in. And I'm super grateful and thankful for that. We do have our differences and all that, but we managed to be pretty, you know, we managed to hold our heads up high. What I wanted to say with this is that a 1-year mark in a healthy relationship is so different from a 1-year mark in an unhealthy relationship. For example, in my experience, this has completely turned the tables for me when it comes to thinking that I know or knew how relationships rolled. I thought that I knew a lot about relationships, but when you've had a toxic pattern of being with toxic people, jumping or having the opportunity to be in a healthy relationship is kind of like startling and nerve-wracking and completely you don't know what to expect, because you're so used to certain patterns that when you see something completely off, you feel completely on edge sometimes. And overall, I think this year has basically been, it has basically been about dealing with that process, you know, dealing with that transition of being in a toxic relationship versus being in a healthy relationship. There's a lot of examples I could give on what a unhealthy relationship based on my experiences look like versus the one that I am in now. And there's so many that I think that, you know, I could just make a whole list out of it and probably take up a really big fragment of this segment and make it about that, which I don't want to. So coming back to the topic, a 1-year mark in a healthy relationship is just basically getting to overcome all those assumptions of those past toxic relationships and patterns, and basically getting to know your partner. And it's really different for me to understand that, you know, there is a phase of a so-called puppy love. How can I say this? Like, my partner and I are in different terms. Like, for example, she's more grounded, more realistic. She has a more realistic approach. She's very objective and more centered than I am, I guess. But I mean, on the other hand, in comparison to her, I am more imaginative. I tend to, I don't know, be more impulsive, risky, and, you know, all that stuff like that. But yet, I am very understanding and very mature and very centered and well-rounded when it comes to communication and relationships. I mean, in my definition, I've gotten better in communicating. But yeah, she knows. I used to struggle a lot with that. I've gotten better with exposure. just putting it into practice. So I would say that I guess there is a phase of puppy love. In my behalf, I don't feel like I've grown out of it, I guess. Or I would say not yet. I don't know. I don't know if I will grow out of it or not. But she says that, you know, she's been in long-term relationships For example, like her past relationship lasted about 5 years or so, and the relationship before that one too. So she knows how this probably rolls. I'm not sure. But for me, it's been completely different. I don't know how it feels to not be in love with my partner, to not look at my partner and be like, holy cow, like shit, like this is the best. Like, I don't know, even in my toxic relationships, I've always looked at my partners and be like, wow, like I really love this person. I really think this person is beautiful and stuff. I mean, I will make an exception. I do have one of my exes that I do not think like that in those regards at all. But, you know, in my other relationships, well, like, I have been completely in love. And it didn't wear out, even though, like, for example, like, they worn out, but not because the relationship normalized or got settled, or, you know, it fell into a routine, or, you know, none of that stuff. Not because I got used to my partner. The falling in love faded because bad things happened, and that person mistreated me, and that person and those people, you know, had very toxic behaviors. So with that said, it's kind of confusing to think of the fact that, you know, I question this all the time. Like, am I going to grow out of this puppy love after this year, or am I not? I haven't been in a relationship longer than a year and a half. So, you know, I feel like I'm documenting my relationship, and I feel like I'm documenting my experiences and my journey and my lessons with you guys. I was thinking, if you guys wanted me to make this podcast into kind of like a journal, but I don't know if you guys actually considered it would be a good idea, I would take the suggestions into consideration. But you guys would have to let me know if the majority would want this. I wonder what's gonna happen after this year. And I don't know, like, I feel like I'm getting to know my partner in a whole nother level that I never thought that I would. And it's kind of weird, because in the process of getting to know her, I feel like, yes, a part is fading, and that part that is fading is the expectation and the idea that I had of her from the beginning. Like, I did have some expectations, and I did have some expectations in regards, like, to what I thought, to how I thought she was, like, personality wise, and she's turned out to be very different. So far so good. She is very different from what I thought she was. But, you know, so far it's not like nothing that I would change, or anything that I can't manage, or, you know, that has made me stop loving her in any way. But it has opened my eyes and my perspective into seeing her in a different light. I feel like I'm falling in love. And this is the best description. And I know I've probably taken a lot longer to give you the answer of how a 1 year mark feels, but here it goes. Like, it feels like I'm starting to love a new person, I guess, because it feels like I'm starting to love and getting to know who my partner really is and not the expectation that I had from her. And it's so weird because, I mean, it might sound cliche or might sound weird if you haven't gone through this or if you haven't been vulnerable enough with your partners to understand, or for example, if you had like toxic past relationships. But it feels weird. It feels weird and it feels uncertain. It feels, it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary because you know you love this person and you know a fraction of this person. And you know you love that fraction of that person. But there's so much more. And you know that some of that fraction has been compromised by your expectations and the way you perceive the world and the way you perceive love and the way you perceive your partner. So, you know, this is why we don't really know. At the end of the day, everybody is a whole, it's a different universe, a whole new world. We're different universes and worlds colliding with each other and just trying to unify it and make it into one. When we become, you know, when you try to be in a relationship or form a family. It's crazy. And with this said, I can only tell you how it feels within my experience. But if you have gone through this and you can relate to what I'm saying, you know, I don't know what goes on from here. And I don't know how old people, just, at least from our past generations, I don't know how old people that, you know, got married have lasted so long. I don't know, it feels like a lottery ticket. It's weird, because, like, I love this person and I'm completely in love with her. But I feel like there's still so much uncertainty that I will never know the answer to until time just passes by. And you guys will get to know when I document it and when I'll make another podcast, you know? And with time, time will tell. And you guys will know. But so far, it's just weird. It's uncertain. It's good. It has so many feelings. So many feelings. Like, I could only express to you how I feel right now. And it feels like soon, on January 22nd, it's basically on January 22nd, I'm going to be a year with this person. It's my 1 year anniversary with my partner. And we've been through so many things in this past year.
funny to say that it's been one of the most craziest years in history, you know? Earthquakes, the pandemics, and, you know, I've been through my personal situations as well, like, with my family, my dog. My dog was attacked by two other dogs, and I almost lost my dog. Like, you know, we've been through so many things. I had to move. You know, it's been a wild card this year. Every day and every month that goes by, that went by, actually. But yeah, it still feels like a wild card. And I feel like anything could happen. And no matter how many years you're with a person, probably, you'll never know. Because people change. And I'm not gonna lie, I hate uncertainty. Studies show that, right? This is kind of like a side note or like a fact about people and anxiety, that people are not afraid of the consequences. People don't get anxious by knowing the consequences. For example, if they know that something bad is going to happen, well, their anxiety levels aren't going to go up. Or if they know nothing's going to happen, their anxiety levels are not going to be as affected as if they were uncertain of what was going to happen. So uncertainty is basically the reason for anxiety. Uncertainty is just what keeps us on edge and raises our cortisol levels and, you know, provokes all of those thoughts, or those rushing thoughts and ruminant thoughts, and just keeps us up at night and doesn't let us concentrate and all these good stuff, you know. So yeah, uncertainty in a relationship, I guess, is always going to be there. I don't know the secret to this, but this is my experience so far in an almost 1 year mark relationship. You feel like you're getting to know a person in a whole new other level. And those expectations and that image of the person you thought you had starts to shapeshift into this other person. And in hopes that you are still in love, and in hopes that you continue to be in love with this person that you are starting to get to know. And I say this, and I just hope that, you know, if my partner is going through the same process as I am, you know, I hope that with time, like, she still is in love with me. And I hope that we are still in love with each other. Let's see. Hopefully. It's a battle of hope and uncertainty and fear. It's hope, uncertainty, and fear. I want to expect the best. My uncertainty and that feeling kind of crumbles me a little, because it comes from fear and all the possibilities that we're just open to and exposed to and not extend to, you know, exempt of. So, yeah. Who knows? I'm always cheering for love in other people, and I'm just like, wow, you know? I wish there was more love in this world, and maybe things would be different. So, you know, I'm also cheering for my shot of love as much as I'm cheering for your shot at love and everyone else's shot at love. Those who are hearing this podcast and those who are not. I want everybody's shot at happiness. Meaning, whatever their definition of happiness is. So, yeah, let's see what happens, guys. Maybe I could make a podcast on the 22nd, the day of our 1 year anniversary, and maybe I could let you guys know how she feels about all this and see what is her perspective on all of this. Who knows? Okay? So I'm gonna try to make a little podcast with her on that day and see what happens, okay? So thank you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed. And love you all. Happy New Year's. I hope this year brings a lot of good stuff, guys. You know, thank you for staying with me through this whole time, for listening to me, and, you know, I just hope that I could give you guys and bring you guys a little bit of joy, a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of hope, or at least a lesson that I could help you guys understand or teach, so that you guys can learn from all of this. So yeah, whatever I can bring to the table, I'm just glad I can do so. Take care, guys. I love you guys. Thank you for listening again. Happy New Year's, and I shall talk to you guys soon. Take care.